Well, good morning, everybody. Has God been good to anybody here this morning? He's been good to me. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, dear Lord God, and we bow before you, dear Lord God, because you are God. You are God, Lord, and we are not, dear Lord. We bow to your supremacy, dear Lord God, and your lordship. Thank you, dear Lord God, for looking down on us and having a feeling toward us, dear Lord God. Dear Lord, that you would give us your Son, dear Lord, that would die on a cross for us, dear Lord God. We don't deserve it, Lord. Lord, please settle our minds this morning that we may focus on you for a minute, dear Lord God, and learn a little bit about you, dear Lord. Please be in the teaching, Lord. Please be in our hearts. In Christ's name, Lord. Amen. You know, we are nothing without God. I got to tell you, I've already graduated from the school of thinks a little too much of myself. Been there, done that. Hope to never get those lessons again, brother. But you can be sure that it's all God in every situation. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the word thirst. The Lord's put this on my heart for a couple of weeks now. Just want to talk about being thirsty. So I thought, well, I'll do some research about the word thirst and being thirsty and see what I can learn, you know, from a medical standpoint about the body and how it wants to act when it's thirsty. So I was reading, and, the medical terms and all, they just don't suit me, and I couldn't understand them, and I read and twisted and went from different site to different site, and it all made sense, but it was just not really helping me at all. Then I came across this one sentence that said, and this was a medical journal, okay? Thirst leads to drinking. Kind of summed it up, didn't it? Thirst leads to drinking. You know, most of us are here right now because our souls became thirsty for God. Either you or somebody that's got the influence over you enough to drag you to church got thirsty to be here. I remember when the Lord started turning my heart toward this ministry and toward this place, and it was a thirst that it wasn't going to go away. It was a drawing that was very supernatural and very real. And that's the way God works, isn't it? He gives us a hunger for something, because otherwise we're dead. We're not looking for it. We're not knowing that we need it. Without that thirst and without that hunger, we stay right where we are in the situation that we're in. And left to our own devices, things just get worse and worse. So when I was thinking of thirsting, I was thinking, well, there's two types of thirst, at least that I can think of. There's the maintenance type thirst. You know, the everyday, you got to have the water or the fluids to sustain yourself. Sitting down for dinner, thirst. Going grabbing a bottle of water at the store, thirst. Just your normal everyday maintenance thirst. And I'd say in this congregation, most of us with God are in a maintenance thirst. We come in and we get a little maintenance, and we need it. We need that maintenance to keep ourselves alive, right? But do you remember the last time that you had an urgent thirst for God? That's the other kind of thirst. That's the kind of thirst where some of you may relate, a lot of you will, is the working in the hay field. Been in the hay field all day, throwing hay up on a truck. Went to the barn, loading hay in the barn, old dusty barn that's everything's dry. It's the end of the day, going to just about pass out thirst. That's a different kind of thirst than your maintenance thirst, isn't it? And we need God in both of those situations. We need our thirst quenched in both of those situations. So, you know, a lot of us sought God a long time ago in an urgent thirst. And now we're staying hydrated with a maintenance thirst. But the well is still drawing the urgent. This ministry is still drawing the people who need that urgent thirst, the people who are desperate. I say, may this be a place where the famished, dehydrated, can drink and restore their lives. That's the ministry that we need to set up here. And we don't need to forget that there are people out there that are starving, people out there that are thirsty and hungry. And we need to be a place that receives them. You know, Brother Ken talks about folks coming in and not looking so good. Those are the people who are going to come in and be famished. And they're really going to need that drink of water. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 42. This is a very familiar verse to a lot of you. As the heart panteth, that heart is a deer. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This passage in the book of Psalms is written by an exiled writer. He was a descendant of Korah, singers in the temple, and he longed to get back to the temple. So he was one who brought song in the temple, and I don't know the story behind Korah. I didn't take time to study it out, but they had been exiled to Palestine, and they were thirsty and hungry to get back, and he was articulating that in this psalm. In this case, his soul was famished for God like a deer after a long drought. Can you imagine a shriveled up deer wandering around in the wilderness and the woods, looking to all these old places for water and not being able to find it, and getting drier and drier and drier, and he's panting in the heat? That's what this is describing here. You know, even the water from below comes from above. Think about that. Even the water from below comes from above. We've got a stream on our property, and there's one stream. It's a broad stream that's always running, and in the couple of years we've been out there, I haven't seen it ever dry or ever even close to dry. But there's a feeder stream that comes into that stream that has always just been a little bit wet. Not even what you would call a stream. It just looks like there might have been a stream there one day. It's cleanly cut, but there's been no water. But with all this rain that we've had lately, I was down there the other day and I saw that stream is flowing now. I mean, it is alive and it is flowing and it's rippling over the rocks. And I thought, well, wow, look at that. So I started following my way up that stream. And about 30 or 40 yards up, the flowing and the rippling starts to become slower and more narrow. And then it starts to become just little bitty pools that really aren't moving water at all. And then a little bit further up, I can see that even the water that is there is just a little bit stagnant. So I'm no genius or anything, but that water is not coming from upstream. It's coming from the ground, from underneath, and it's seeping into that branch and becoming alive as it flows down. So if it wasn't there 2 years ago, that tells me that the rain is raising the water table. And it's making the water come up so that it seeps back into that stream that used to be there. Our blessings from God may appear that they always come from above, and they do. But when you get them, they may come from all different kind of directions. And they'll seep into your life from all different kind of directions. A little at a time, I couldn't see. There wasn't a place in that branch that I could see that there was just water spouting up. It wasn't like a fountain that turned into a stream, a live stream. But it was just enough seeping into that branch to where by the time it manifests itself at the mouth, it was alive and it was living. That's what God does in our life when we follow His ways. He puts enough in us to where by the time it starts to manifest out of us, it's something that's alive and something that's real. And it all comes from one place. There is no source in the ground for water. It all comes from up above. So that thirst is something that God can supply the need for. And we'll never explain God. But if we'll let Him, He will take care of us. And it will manifest in our lives. See, most of the world has no desire and no thirst for the things of God. So what we get is a dehydrated society. All you have to do is turn on the TV and look around. We've got a dehydrated society. We miss the water that purifies. We miss the water that gives us life. And we miss the blessings of God. If you look in Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this is a promise, for they shall be filled. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. The word shall, we see it in the Bible, but you don't see it a whole lot out in society. The word shall is a declaration. It means there is no doubt. I read a lot of blueprints, a lot of engineering drawings, and when you see the word shall, the word shall in an engineering term means it cannot be deviated from. There is no tolerance around that. Right, Brother David? Shall means if you don't do this, bad things are going to happen. Yeah. It means that whatever is on the other side of shall must happen. It's a declaration. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Those of us who can hunger after God shall be filled. It's a Bible promise. For those who thirst, God will always give you more than you bargain for. I know He has in my life. If you will, turn over to the book of John, chapter 13. There's another famous story about a woman who thirsted. I found a leech in that stream, by the way, the other day, too. I don't know about those leeches. That might be another lesson. I don't know what that is. Ooh. Those things are nasty. All right, John 13, verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." You see, living water is different than the water that she was used to. She was talking about the water you drink from the well. Jesus is talking about something that she couldn't quite understand yet. In verse 11 it says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." Saying to the one who created everything, "You have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" To that I say, yeah, yes. Jesus is greater than Jacob. And to the one that gave them the well, you know, there is none greater than Jesus. And most of us agree... But most of us really act like we're the center and we're the greatest. Some of us act like we live on Me Street all the time, don't we? I've actually been accused of that. And, you know, I've probably been guilty of that. you know, my wife told me the other day, just don't try that executive polish stuff with me. I remember when you used to scoop dog poop. That's pretty straight, ain't it? Hey, I'm part of a unique club, Brother Ken. I'll tell you, I am. And I don't want to gross you guys out, but if you scoop dog poop into a bucket that's been rained in, and you take it off to dispose of it down the way we used to do it, there's a suction action that happens if you drop it down beside you. It's a magical thing. It turns into a rocket propulsion straight up in the air. and there's a rain that happens. You only do it once. Well, you can stumble and do it more, but you don't want to stumble looking over the thing, right? But I am part of an elite club. Not many people know that. But you only learn that one way. So I don't want to get us too sidetracked, but we can't start thinking too much of ourselves, can we? Because I tell you what, no matter what position life puts you in, if it's a high position, it's not you. You didn't do it. And we get fooled so often that we know something or we can do something. And we don't and we can't. God just fulfills His purpose, His way for His kingdom. So in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." It comes from above, but it springs up out of us as it saturates us. There has to be a saturation, though. Yes. The water table doesn't rise until the water below it is saturated. Good. There's a saturation that happens, and then it can flow out of you. Absolutely. You can't take it in small doses and expect it to flow. Wow. Nothing flows in small doses. So Jesus is the only one that can offer life eternal. This woman was questioning who Jesus was and how He had authority over that well and over the living water. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just another religion. This is not just another religion. There is only one way. There's only one door. And His sheep hear His voice. And they know Him. And He knows them. So, He is the salvation. He's my salvation. But to receive it, but to receive that salvation, especially if you're new to all this stuff, there has to be a thirst. No dead man just gets up and walks. No dead man can come alive. No sick person can just heal themselves. No lost person can save themselves. There has to be a thirst. There has to be a drawing. Thirst? Let me go back. What's that the doctor said? He said, thirst leads to drinking. Without the thirst, there is no drinking. You won't drink if you're already full. If you're full of yourself, afraid of your reputation, if you're full of pride, there's nowhere to take in if you're already full. If you will, turn over to the book of Matthew. Chapter 19. I will say that if you do have a thirst and if God's starting to draw on you, if God's starting to draw you and have you to desire Him and to come toward Him, you know, I'll just say from experience, don't fight Him. Don't fight Him. You'll never regret if you take the Lord into your heart. Never regret it. I have never met a person that said, "I regret that." Never. Now, I've regretted a lot that I've done since then. I've regretted the person I am sometimes, but I've never regretted that most cherished drink of that living water that I took. Never done it. Matthew 19:16, it says, "And behold, one came unto him saying, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So this man came up to Jesus and said, "What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to have eternal life?" Verse 17, it says, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which?" Jesus said, "Do no murder. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, and do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and love thy neighbor as thyself." Okay, here's the tricky part in verse 20. The young man said unto him, "All these things I've kept. since my youth up. What I lack, what do I lack? So first of all, no one is that good, right? He just exhibited, yeah, I'm in good shape. I'm not really thirsty for anything, but I would like to know what I could get here. So this man came to Jesus, but he didn't come with a thirst. Jesus said unto him, so Jesus in verse 21 is going to find out through this statement, are you really thirsty for it? Do you really want it? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus just exposed him for what he was. Even though he came seeking intellectually how he could get eternal life, he didn't come seeking with a great thirst. Because if he'd really been thirsty, he'd have done exactly what Jesus asked him to do. Now, this confuses a lot of people. Why would Jesus ask him to go sell everything that he had? Did you have to sell everything that you have and give to the poor to be saved? It wasn't about the selling of everything. It was about the heart. It was about the willingness. Will I do what Jesus asked me to do? Jesus just asked us to take a step toward Him is all He wants to save us. Turn our hearts toward Him. You know, Abraham, God asked him to go sacrifice his son, Jacob. And he went out and set out to sacrifice, to bloody up his son and sacrifice him in death to God. God stopped that and gave him an appropriate sacrifice in the place of his son. It was never about the sacrifice of that boy. It had nothing to do with the sacrifice of that boy. It was to see Abraham's heart and to show Abraham his own heart. That's all this was about this rich young man. It was all about showing him his heart. Are you willing? Are you really thirsty? Do you really want it? And for this guy, it was all about giving up his riches. For us, it may be giving up our friend network. I think that scares most people to death. If I get saved or if I start going to church, I'm going to have to give up all my friend network. Yeah, you may do it. Some of them may come with you. But guess what? If you're really thirsty, it won't matter. If you're really thirsty and you want that living water, you'll do whatever it takes. So we've been talking about thirst, and I know that relates to a lot of people, and there's a lot of examples of thirst and scripture of thirst in the Bible. But I'm a part of another unique club, Brother Ken. When I was a kid, I had asthma. Anybody ever seen anybody have an asthma attack or ever had an asthma attack? Raise your hand. So there's a percentage in here, and some of you may have seen it on TV. I don't have it anymore. I got a little exercise-induced asthma sometimes, but when I was a kid, maybe two or three times every two or three years. I don't know. Mama would remember better than I would. But my throat would close up. My lungs would close up. And I would gasp for air. And it was everything I could do to get another breath. And it would usually last just a minute to either I could get whatever cleared out or get some steam in my face or get to the hospital for a shot. But during that moment of time, when you're gasping and fighting for your next breath, there is one thing that's important to you. All the matters in the world, all the money in the world, all the gold, peace on earth, think of the biggest thing you can think of, and it's no longer in your mind. The only thing that's in your mind is that next breath, getting another breath into your lungs. When God makes you thirsty, when God convicts and starts to squeeze your heart, that is the only thing that's on your mind. And you'll give everything up for it. Single focus to get to God. And that's what this deer is talking about. That's what this thirst is talking about. That's what I'm trying to communicate that God's put in my heart this morning. That there may be some people here that are starting to get desperate for God. And starting to get thirsty and hungry for God. And it's time to give up and step toward Him. It's time to step toward Him because that's what it takes. It doesn't take much. It just takes a heart turned toward God, a step toward God. And all that gasping and all that dehydration And all that thirst can be satisfied just like that. God will saturate you with His Spirit, and you'll start to rise up, that living water will start to rise up out of you. Just a little bit of God will start to saturate your body, and you won't have to be perfect. There's a guy at work that started reading the Bible, and he's asking me about it. And he said, Randy, since I started reading the Bible, he's not saved yet, but he messed around, he'll get saved. He said, I stopped smoking and I started exercising. I don't know what that means. I mean, there's not much in the Bible, especially in Genesis, where he started reading about exercising and quitting smoking. But it tells me that there's a little bit of a change starting to happen. A little bit of a saturation where good things want to start to come up. But you know what's going to happen, right? If that thirst starts to build and that hunger starts to build, it won't be long. He'll be gasping. And he'll be wanting to reach for anything, whatever it takes to satisfy, to get that breath, to get that last drink of water, that living water. You know, God did that for me, and He's done it for a lot of you. And we are forever grateful that God would draw us and satisfy us in that way. And you know, when we think about, well, we get to go to heaven, that's great. That is great. We get to go to heaven. But heaven's where it starts to get easy, right? I mean, at least I'm assuming so from what I've read here. Like, I'm no Bible scholar or anything. But there's nothing easy about this road down here. And we don't have to be without a friend. We don't have to be without a source of energy and a source of life. And God's offered that to us even while we're here. If we'll just drink and we'll let Him saturate us. So let's pray. God put this on my heart. And I mean, I really feel like some people are starting to get ready to step toward Him. And I would just ask you to pray for them because you were there. And let's pray for each other. And thank you very much for your attention.